Good morning. It is always a joy and a privilege to gather together to worship our God on Sundays, and it is good to see all of you. I'm feeling a little tilted or something here. That's okay. Happens sometimes. A reminder that ours is an open communion that we celebrate every week, and we are still serving with bread and cup separated, and we ask you to take your cups with you as you leave and place them in the receptacle at the sanctuary doors, because all are welcome to Christ's table as Christ has welcomed us. We share in our offerings to God by placing our gifts in the offering tray at the sanctuary doors, or by mailing gifts to the church office. We know that God continues to work through us throughout the week. A reminder that this is Food Pantry Week. Please be in prayer for the volunteers in whatever capacity they serve, and for those who find themselves in need of our services. The need for God's love shown in this small way seems to be increasing at all times, and so we are grateful that we can be a part of helping those around us. Want to thank the plumbing fairies who put in a new faucet and new plumbing under the sink in the kitchen. I'm sure that will make many people's lives a little quicker, if nothing else, on Sunday mornings. Those who met last Monday for our futuring meeting decided to postpone our weekly meetings until October 3rd for the next meeting, as we await more information about royalty checks and drilling and land issues, etc., and what that will mean for us as Parma Christian Church as we move forward. I hope in the meantime you all will be praying and contemplating not only the prayer that has been provided to you, but what a new future will look like for us as Parma Christian Church. For a while now, our general minister and president, Terry Horde Owens, has been talking and speaking about the theme, Imagine What God's Love Can Do. And that is certainly the direction that I hope we can take as a congregation, reminding us ourselves that what worked for the church 10, even 5 years ago is different than what will work for the church today. If we truly want to move forward, we need to reimagine what we can be, what church can and should be for us, for our community, and for our world. A reminder that this coming Saturday is regional assembly for the Ohio region of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, which will be held at Camp Christian. Dick and Mary Ann Woodward and I will be traveling to camp next Saturday, so I hope you will keep us in your prayers, as well as the people there. It is not too late. You can still go if you would like. However, lunch will cost you $5 if you go, if you didn't sign up already. We get lunch free because we pre-register. Smart Alex, I know. I think that's all the announcements that I have to share this morning. So let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. Thank you. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the first letter to Timothy, the second chapter, reading verses 1 through 7. Hear these words. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Thanks be to God for these words as they come to us from this letter to Timothy. As the seasons change from summer to fall, which happens officially this week, Thursday, I believe, and eventually on to winter. Yes, indeed, it's coming. Sorry, have to be the bearer of bad news. We begin to hear more and more of a malady which we are all prone to. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, SAD for short. Well, it was almost a joke when it first became something that was talked about. It is now considered to be a legitimate diagnosis in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders. It tends to appear during those bleak, rainy, or wintry months and is caused by lack of light and results in a general feelings of malaise and anxiety and sluggishness. It is estimated to affect 10 million Americans every year, with the most serious symptoms including chronic depression. Another 10 to 20% of us have mild episodes. Surely we all get the blues when the rain or clouds last more than a day or two or three. We're all happy to see the sun. Of course, that cloudiness and drizzle can be a positive thing for some. When I was doing genealogy, I learned that the Ravenna Arsenal, which was of prime importance during World War II, was located where it was partly because of the number of cloudy days that area experienced. And then there's the great Northwest, Seattle, Washington in particular, that is often thought to be the United City with the highest concentration of sad people. Actually, it doesn't rain all that much there. It just constantly drizzles, creating that sadness. One of the ways that we all know that Seattle deals with this sadness is by consuming large amounts of coffee. They're famous for it. Nerves jazzed up on caffeine temporarily may mask the malaise and lethargy associated with sadness, but it's not really a cure. In the church, those initials, SAD, take on a different kind of meaning, one that perhaps could be called spiritually affective disorder. This version is often found running rampant through the church universal. It encompasses all seasons and all types of people. Spiritually affected churches display all the classic symptoms associated with individuals struggling with the better known seasonal affective disorder. They are lethargic, They're slow to react to events both within their faith community as well as the world around them. And at the same time, there is an underlying sense of anxiety and dis-ease that is running through everything these churches try to do. Just as the cause of seasonal affective disorder is a lack of light, so too churches that suffer spiritual affective disorder do so because they lack a certain type of light in their lives. And that light, of course, is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Today's lesson from 1 Timothy celebrates God's love and light and God's redeeming intentions. But as universal as that divine urge is, it is made possible only by a single particular. As Paul says, the one mediator, Christ Jesus himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. The church is called to stand out in a darkened world as a saving beacon of light, a blazing standard of hope. But that's hard to do when that light is overshadowed by petty differences, by uncaring attitudes, by the indwelling of complaints rather than the indwelling of the Spirit. When we're so concerned about saving money instead of saving souls, when we're so concerned with what the other can do for us rather than what we can do for them, when we continually worry about what someone will say or do or think, about who's in and who's out, about who's not here and who should be, rather than whether that person has the light of Christ in them or whether we can help them find it, or whether the light of Christ shines in every corner of this building with what we have and, most importantly, with whose we are. When all of that is put together, even just pieces and parts of it, then we risk becoming a spiritually affected, disordered church. Spiritually affected churches have several things in common. First, they have low self-esteem and lack of confidence. They talk about how small they are. Everything is small. Everything is little. And second, there's fear. There's obsession about failing. And there's resentment and loss of power and respect in individuals and for individuals. Fourth, unresolved conflict. Fifth, and perhaps the most telling, the inability to accept change. You know the seven last words of the church. I've said them a lot. We've never done it that way before. And equally devastating, the other side of that, boredom. The muttering of, we've always done it this way. Well, what worked in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s should work now. Let's just do that. But did it work? Really? Or let's get back to pre-COVID days, when in reality, those days were really not so good either. The world around us has changed a great deal in just the last 2 years, let alone the changes that we have all witnessed over the last 3, 4, or 5 decades. The good news is that we do not need to be sad churches and sad Christians. We can be transformed into glad churches and glad Christians, that is, people for whom God's light and love always delights. And how do we make that happen? Well, the prescription comes to us from the very first verse of today's text. Paul, in fact, gives it a priority. First of all, then, I urge prayers and thanksgivings be made for everyone. It's one of the reasons that we have decided to pray the same prayer about the church that we might first and foremost be reaching out to God for guidance and love together on this journey we find ourselves on. We are called to pray for the burdens of others, despite our own, and not just on Sundays. To rid ourselves of resentment toward others for their successes or their station in life, whatever that means, or whatever other reason we can possibly think of, asking God to put people in our lives who are examples, who are leaders, who are instruments of growth. And we pray for wisdom, for grace, for love. And mostly, we pray for forgiveness. Not only our own, but the ability to reach out and truly forgive others. Those aren't just words we say when we pray the Lord's Prayer together. There's meaning behind the words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And maybe that's the true heart of the matter. I mean, how can we be glad Christians or a glad church where God's light and love always delights praying and thanking God unless we have an attitude of forgiveness? Don Henley, if you remember him in his song Heart of the Matter, which was from 1989, if you can believe that, makes the suggestion that at the core of the human condition is the need for forgiveness. Henley wonders, what are these voices outside love's open door make us throw off our contentment and beg for something more? Pride and competition cannot fill these empty arms, and the work I put between us doesn't keep us warm. He then concludes, I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter, but my will gets weak and my thoughts seem to scatter. But I think it's about forgiveness. Forgiveness. At the end, the heart of the matter is God's love and light that comes from Jesus the Christ. The heart of the gospel is that Jesus is indeed our all in all. When in an atmosphere of forgiveness we can pray and give thanks, we can be free of spiritual affective disorder and be a people for whom God's light and love always delights. From disorder to delight, the good news in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.